Welcome back to the Grouch Couch, right here. Tonight, we're continuing Metal Omnicon. It is episode 7, which is very exciting. I will be your humble band manager, Turk. I will be the one controlling the chaos around here, and we are a little bit over the halfway point of this here podcast. At the top here, if you're listening on YouTube or on Spotify, something like that, make sure to subscribe, rate the show. We appreciate that so much. There's a lot of you out there that haven't done so, so do so. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But, again, it's not only me here. I'm here with the band. So now, we're going to cut to the band and a special guest for tonight. Say hello, band!
Hello, band!
That's all right. I'm here with Kate, Connor, and guest starring tonight is very fucking exciting, Fishy! Hello, Fishy. Welcome back, my guy. How you doing? Good to see you.
Life is crazy. We're surviving. It's nice to put on some shit and maybe forget about the real world for 30 seconds.
That's fucking right. And one other little thing. Big shout out to our not sponsor, but unofficial sponsor, James. He bought me a couple IPAs. He actually bought them for me 2 weeks ago, hoping I would shout him out on the show. But we went on our break, which he didn't know about. And I'm sure he's listening right now on Spotify. So hi, James. Wave to the camera in our office and say hello to them as well. And thank you for the beers, my friend. This is DTLA, a West Coast IPA. It's good. It's an IPA, baby. That's right. You're nothing wrong with that.
Thank you, James, you beautiful baby boo, our official sponsor of the Grouch Couch. He says unofficial. I say official. You provide so much turkey for the show. You're the official sponsor. I said so. It's canon now.
Speaking of you being our sponsor, we're going to need to take a look at that contract rewrite. I have a few points that I'd like to insert in there because, you know, the way it's written right now, there's a lot of sloppiness that can be corrected, but we'll get back to you on that.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, Connor. Hell yeah, Roger. Mira said no Emmy. No Emmy tonight. It will be a short stream, but we have Fishy. Mira, Fishy's sitting in the spot. Hello. Yay. It's very good. Cool. And again, if you guys are just listening here anywhere else, thank you so much for joining us and being awesome. We're only doing 11 episodes of this here campaign, and then we have something very special that we're going to be starting afterwards. So look forward to that. Cool. Did I miss anything? Anything else anybody wants to say before we run the intro and get into the show?
We're halfway through the campaign. If you haven't gotten your Metal Omnicon merch yet, what are you doing? Go get your merch. Go get your band merch. Go get your beautiful things that you can wear on your body to be like, I'm a couch maniac. Put me in, couch. Let's go. Get your stuff. Nice swaggy swags.
They don't have like big enough shirts for James to wear, so he's like, you gotta make a Metal Omnicon hat, and I guess I gotta do that. So we gotta figure out what logo we want to put on a hat for James.
Send me James's size, because if anything, we can just make a separate link and upload one on my website that is the correct size.
See, James, we love you. See? Oh! Everybody, we're gonna run the musical intro, and Fishy ain't on there, but if Fishy just do a little dance and be like, ding, 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 it's Fishy, he's playing a character on the show, Metal Omnicon.
Your name is Metal Omnicon. All right, fantastic.
Very good. We'll be right back, y'all. Don't go anywhere. Intro time. Hell yeah, baby. So we're going to turn to the show. Look, I know it's been 2 weeks. So we'll probably do a little bit of dangle recap. And so far, there's only a couple important things you guys need to know. You have two of the pages to the Metal Omnicon. You know that some of the fucking supreme assholes, the ones that rule the world, are trying to raise some kind of demon from a large lake nearby. And you're trying to collect these pages to be able to stop that from happening. Because they basically want to destroy the world. And you want to stop them from doing so. Yes. So you're collecting magical pages all across this realm here to try
try and, you know, put it back to sleep. And one thing you have learned is that these pages actually have musical notes on them that form up a song that you're going to have to perform to be able to put this thing back to rest, which is cool. You know the location of two pages. You know where one is. It's in an ancient library. And another one is in the grasps of a mechanic that is also the vampire overlord to Emmy's character, Eon. All right. And this mechanic used to work for the same people that you work for, the agency that is kind of pushing you guys around and helping you to do things, including Mr. Johnson. And Mr. Johnson's basically your handler. He's your band manager. He's been helping you do stuff and get stuff done. A couple other things. We've recruited a couple people. Lucy is Roger's dog, but Lucy also turns out to have been transformed into this dog. Wasn't originally. And Lucy is actually Lucian, who used to be the leader of a rebellion against the Supreme Ten. And so Lucian has attached to Roger, believing that he's the new leader of the rebellion, or could be. And Lucy has completely and utter loyalty to Roger, no matter what, for some strange reason. Yeah. Also, we have Crux. Crux is a Viking who was trapped inside of the Raven Temple for a long time. He was just there defending it. And it turns out that Ananka is actually the avatar for the Raven, kind of the new Raven godly-like leader. And she kind of inherited this church. And so these people listen to her 100%, even though they don't know shit about the world around them, but they listen to her, including Alicia, I believe her name was, and Crux. There are two people who used to defend the temple until our band showed up and fucking destroyed the place and then recruited them. Right. Fair enough. Did I miss anything else that was important?
Did you get the part where the Fire Nation attacked?
I did forget that part. And then the fucking Fire Nation
attacked. Okay.
How crazy is that? Yes. Okay.
And then the Fire Nation attacked.
A little bit of our recap. Here's where the story is going to begin. You guys are driving along in the band van, the ghoul bus, the magical ghoul bus, the place where you guys live and sleep and relax. And Alicia happens to be driving the bus because Bob the Zombie, Lucy, and Eon have left. Those three went together to go and investigate the mechanic shop, to go and figure out what to do about this vampire overlord to get the page from them. So they're going in undercover to try and do some research, which leaves you guys by yourselves. This music is playing through the radio, and Alicia's bobbing along. She's like, I've never heard anything like this. I'm really, really into it. I think this is amazing. And as she's saying that, she's driving because the other guys can't drive. Roger doesn't know how to drive. And Ananka, you're blind, so you're leaving the old elven woman to drive. And she's really into this music. And out from the back, coming out from one of the bunks, comes out Crux. Now, Crux, again, is a Viking. This Viking guy was trapped away for a long time. He's got these crazy long hair braids because within this world, Vikings believe that you only cut your hair once you've been defeated in battle. So his hair and his pubes, apparently, have never been cut before. And he comes out almost half naked, just wearing like brown pants. He comes out the bus and he's like,
what is this foul music?
It's the universal rule. Driver picks the music.
My goodness. I don't know what to say. Where is the vampire woman? Bring her to me.
She's gone out on a mission, big guy, so you need to just, like, chill the fuck out.
I seek companionship.
You seek companionship?
Yes.
Here's a pair of... Actually, no, here's one of my crusty socks. Use this as companionship, and I throw it at him, and it sticks to the wall. Like a throwing star.
He looks at it, and he's like, these things you wear on your feet are squishy.
Oh, I don't wear it on my feet.
Oh. Well, then your codpiece is squishy. Are your balls leaking?
No, but I make them leak. Listen, guy, the vampire woman is not gonna be here. Okay. You just go back to sleep or, you know, just fucking... I don't know, blend into the background, blink every once in a while. You know, regular fucking non-main character shit.
He's like, indeed, but I do not answer to you, Goblin. I only answer to the Avatar of the Raven. What will you have me?
All right, first of all, like, are you looking for, like, coital companionship?
Well...
Or are you just looking for someone to talk to?
I was looking for a coital companionship, but the sticky codpiece of the goblin has changed my mind.
All right, well, listen, when Aeon gets back, you can discuss that with her. For now, just relax, bud. Try out the Alfred system if you want to learn some stuff about the general society.
Yes, I will do that.
And whatever you do, don't jujol. Two goblins, one cup. Don't jujol that. I'm telling you right now.
You should. Roger's in that video.
I will look this up. I will return to you with my research. I listened to the Avatar.
Here, look it up.
The Avatar of the Raven tells me to Google this, and I wiggle. He turns and walks to the back of the bus. Now the
you think
music.
I'm gonna let you live that down, Roger. You're gonna. That's gonna be plastered all over the internet forever.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know. What's the internet?
Sorry, the minternet.
I still don't know what you're talking. Anyways, is there any people outside the bus, like pedestrians that, you know, maybe look like good targets?
I absolutely do think so. While you're looking out the bus, why don't you go on ahead and roll me a perception check? We'll see what you can see. And I also did notice on the top of the Foundry character sheet, there's a little button you can click that does perception checks, which is pretty dope. Yeah.
Yeah. I knew that.
I didn't.
I got a four.
A four. Very good. Very good. Let me see here. We'll make this an easy check. Pull this up. Dastardly Unicorns. That's a pretty cool jacket the orc is wearing. Hey. Orcs and goblins. You know how it is. You only had to beat a one. Okay. So, you do see some stuff. And what I'm going to do is we're going to cut back to you. So save that for just a sec. Because we're going to cut over to Fishy's character. All right. We're going to cut over to Fishy's character. And I would like you to describe, you know, tell us your name. And describe a little bit of what you look like. And also, maybe tell us where the camera might zoom around and see you in this world. Maybe what you're doing. If you're prepared to improv that much, I'm ready for it, baby.
Well, as you can see, I'm a water genasi. I almost said paladin. I'm a water genasi that is standing out on the streets. Looks really crusty, really dirty, maybe a little bit smelly. I'm outside in the rain playing my saxophone panhandling. Because my last bandmate left me and it's never been the same, and it's really hard to book gigs in a world of filled with corruption.
Nice. Hell yeah. Also, Unicorn said, Dastardly Unicorn. Hello. Again, makes sense. Don't need anybody. I listened to a lot of LIT RPGs. Hell yeah, dude. Sick ass. Trying to get into it, though. Well, welcome here, friend. If you have any questions along the way, please make sure to go on ahead and ask them, because we're here to help, my friend. Welcome to the party. Sewer water genasi? That's what I'm talking about.
There's a problem with all the pollutions. The waters is sewers now.
Yeah, the sewer waters. Okay, so, Roger. On top of when you look out the window, looking for, you know, just bored, trying to find some targets, something to shoot, the music kind of fades to a stop as you guys hit a stoplight. You guys are headed to meet up with Mr. Johnson, for he has a lead on where to go next. But as you hit the stoplight, you look out the window, and with your four, I'm going to tell you, you can see a few different things. First of all, you can see, compared to usual, there are way more Supreme 10 security guards walking the streets. They're all in this, like, white armor uniform, and they have like these face masks on, real kind of sci-fi looking stuff. They're walking around with their laser guns, and standing on the corner, you do see this homeless looking water genasi playing a saxophone for people, and all the security guards are just walking past him, kind of harassing him. And at the corner of your eye, you see an ad for Twinkies on a big screen, and it catches your eye, and you look, and you go, "Ah, oh, yeah, Twinkies." But then it shifts, and the screen goes to the next slideshow, and it says, "Wanted by the Supreme 10, Metal Omnicon," and it has all three of your faces plastered on the screen.
That's clearly the balloon notes. Clearly.
God damn it, I'm wanted by the government. At least somebody wants me, but this is bullshit. This is some fucking rich asshole that doesn't want us to succeed in life. Let me tell you something. You know what? That guy looks rich. Him with his blue fucking hair. Fuck you, guy!
You gonna throw a shoe at Fishy's character? Is that what's happening right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, go ahead and roll to attack. Fishy, yeah, your first roll in this campaign, you get to make a defense roll, my friend. Now, again, at the top of your character sheet, there is a little defense button you can just click, and it'll do the things. It's one of the little yellow squares. Yeah. Roger got a 6. Strength, agility, defense, you got a 0. What did you roll? Let me see. Oh, yeah, no, you rolled 5d6.
I rolled the defense.
You got a 0 on your defense. So this shoe comes flying out of this magic ghoul bus, and it just nails you right in the face while you're playing your saxophone. And you take a few steps back. You bump into one of the Supreme 10 security guards, and they're like, "Watch it, buddy." And then they keep on walking, but you look up at the magic ghoul bus and you see this goblin through the shoe at you. Says, "Fuck you, buddy." And sitting next to the goblin, not even looking out the window because she's blind, is Ananka. And you know and remember Ananka, your old bandmate.
Ananka?
Hey. No, my name's Roger.
No, I was talking to you, you fucking goblin fuck. Ananka!
Honest?
Are you telling me you made it all big and famous?
Traveling with this asshole is not making me big and famous. What are you doing?
Hold on, let me translate for you.
You have a whole bus. You're telling me you're not famous? Your face is on the side of the bus.
Is my face on the bus? I thought it was just Roger's face on the bus.
You wouldn't know either way. You would never know. Yeah,
I don't know. you kind of fool me, honestly. Get on the bus. Come on, come with us.
What are you? Wait, you let this rich asshole come with us? He's just why we're wanted.
All right. I'm going to slam my saxophone case, throw it through the window at Roger.
So once again, in the reverse, you can roll an attack, which a ranged attack would be strength agility. And then Roger's going to be rolling in agility logic to defend against it.
Do I roll what, strength agility?
Yeah.
I don't know how to roll.
If you click on strength, the little window will come up. Hmm. And when that happens, there's a little drop down that you can add the other one to.
So you pick it up. You got a 1. He got a 4. You pick it up. You succeed getting it through the window, but it's real slow. It's like a slow. You're like, and you go to throw it through, and he just kind of moves.
Well, it's a bandit one.
You just move out of the way,
Wait,
Roger.
Can it straight up just hit me in the face and do nothing?
Sure.
Hits me in the face and drops.
Yeah, it drops down.
Like, hey, asshole! That would have hurt if you were strong.
You are
you
that is
alone.
One thing I am not.
There you go. You run around the side and hop up into the bus. And when you get in the bus, it's a marvelous sight. You're not used to fancy things like these. These digs are digging. You know? It's beautiful. It's
Look
like
a
whole
couch.
Space.
That's a nice couch.
Don't sit on that couch. That's Roger's wanking couch.
That's exactly where I'm going to jump onto and sit on that couch.
As you do, you kind of sink in. It's a little squishy and wet. Like,
Years of hard work gone to waste. Now my shit is It's dirtied by your richness. You're an asshole, you know that?
I don't own a cent to my name there, goblet. I'm a fart into the couch, and it's going to sound really, really wet.
Nice. Can we do a thing? When he farts on it, I want to see if you react to it well or badly, Roger. I don't know if you'll like the farts or not. Can we do a charisma check versus a logic?
You want me to roll to see if I like his fart?
Yeah, into his couch, his wet fart, yeah.
If I succeed, does that mean I like it?
So we're
going
to do contested, and I would like Fishy to make a charisma check versus logic for you, Roger.
I got a four.
Wait, you want me to do logic?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
He got a five. Okay, so you decide. Did you like the fart or no?
This is bullshit. I'm gonna go hang out with a Viking. And I'm just gonna crawl on top of him while he's laying down and lay down like he's the couch.
And he says, "Finally, companionship." And he puts his big old muscly arms around you and squeezes a little bit.
And then I fart.
And he goes, "You've been eating pancakes?"
And so the process begins.
Indeed.
Anyways.
Stannis, what are you doing? What you doing here?
Well, it's super, super simple. So after the band fell apart, I decided to try out my own band. But it's really hard to sing and play saxophone all at the same time. So now that I've lost my wife, my kids, and my house, I'm a traveling saxophonist, finding any good street lamp corner lit alleyway or anywhere that won't kick me out because due to my flies, it's just like a bunch of flies buzzing around him, like a comic book.
They're also totally like stuck to the chair. They're stuck to the sticky chair.
Oh, do you want a shower? We got a walk-in shower in the back if you want to bathe.
Now, you know as well as I know that any water you get out of any tap in this entire city is complete sewage water. That's probably why it doesn't smell very good in here.
No, it's just Roger.
Some of the reasons why.
Yeah, it's Roger is the reason this place smells disgusting.
As you talk, the Viking puts his arm tighter around you, Roger, and it's just like his armpits just like on your face. He's like,
He's cupping a pick. He's cupping a pick like a tea.
Oh, man. We're currently in a pheromone duel.
Ridiculous.
And I bet you I'd win. I'm going to stuff my hand down into Roger's couch, pull out a half-eaten corn dog, and start eating it.
No! No! I've been saving that!
And they just let a really, really wet fart out, and then I'm just going to be like, oh! That's probably going to be worse later.
Oh! That's going to itch when it dries.
Oh, God. Okay, I want to give you two a minute to catch up about your old band before I move on to the next bit. And if I don't say that, we're going to chaos improv for too long. So, yes, please feel free to catch up.
What have you been up to, Anonka, since you decided to go and start a revolution?
Listen, where are people that are getting slaughtered out there? There's only so much you can take until you're just like, you know what? I'm just going to take down the government. But, you know, got recruited by these douchebags in a metal band now. I think I might be the head of a religion, which is weird. But yeah, other than that, I mean, yeah, just hanging with these douchebags. There's Roger, the goblin that you met. You won't meet her today, but there's Aeon. She's a vampire. She's pretty nice. She's like a sweet old Betty.
What the fuck?
You rolling around with the vampire?
I mean, listen. It's not like I'm gonna notice anything. It's...
After all we went through during the vampire circles, you're just gonna let another vampire in your life? It took us years to get out of them drum circles back then. Stupid vampires drum all night long.
Oh, listen, you don't know this vampire. She's like a... Listen, like, I'm pretty sure she looks about, like, 24. But, like, she's, like, a proper granny. Like, she just sits around knits all day.
It sounds like the nicest vampire I've ever heard.
As you guys are talking, you look to the back of the bus. You see Rogers laying there by himself now, cuddling a big body pillow. And the Viking's on the ground, like, listening to you talk about Eon. He's like...
Crocs, what are you doing? I can hear you scuffling.
Oh, really?
I'm blind, not deaf.
Sorry, Avatar of the God. I was excited when you speak of the vampire. She is sweet. She knitted me this.
And he stands up, and around his balls and his penis, he has this knitted, like, sack holder. It's kind of like a Speedo, but there's no back. It's just like a single string that goes around and holds up his sack. And he's like, keeps me balls warm.
How is that knitted? It's just a wondry string.
I don't judge her knitting.
She's the best knitter. She knows how she did it.
I roll over with the body pillow and fart.
As this conversation's happening, I want to move on here a little bit. The magical bus comes to a stop. The music that Alicia's playing up front, she turns it down and she looks back and she says, "Well, guys, I think we're here. I followed Alfred's directions exactly." And you three look out the window to see you're here at this old, busted-up, broken-down-ass building. And standing out front of the building is Mr. Johnson with Pickles. But one thing you notice about Mr. Johnson is he's not only wearing his suit now, but his nails are also painted black. He's still rocking that spiked collar, and his hair's kind of messed up a little bit, and he has one single left earlobe earring.
Amazing. I can't see it, but I love it.
Hell yeah. Crochet, actually. Thanks, Creon. Appreciate that. Also, Mira is saying really good things about you, Fishy. You're fucking busting them up, dude. I don't know if you read that.
Stannis, you up to do a job. You up for, like, a little side gig with us?
The side gig? Shit, I don't even have main gigs right now. What's the jam?
We essentially, break up corruption in the Supreme Ten, causing chaos.
Well, that sounds like fun. My question is how much ketamine do you need?
_ Pubert subscribed, huh? What's this now?
What's this now? Thank you for 5 months, Pubert! My guy. Cheers, bud.
I mean, we get shite like that with our riders anyway, so I mean, we just bring it up to Mr. Johnson that you want to be paid in ketamine and karma, and we could probably work that. He's not paying Eon this time.
The other things, we also need a vial of acid, a bunch of cocaines, and then, you think they got black dragon tar heroin around here?
Oh, I catched that, like, 15 years ago. I don't even know anymore.
Man, times have changed.
Oh, I know. But no, cocaine, absolutely. How do you think I put up with these knuckleheads?
It's also probably why you can't smell how bad the bus is.
Yeah. No, sure. I do got a pouch of ayahuasca if you're interested, if you want to see God for a while.
Mr. Johnson knocks on the door.
You were good.
You guys in there?
Occupado.
No, Johnson, come in.
Oh, here I come.
Alicia, open the door.
Yeah. She unlocks it. He opens the door and steps in. He's like, "Well, hello, everyone. It's good to see you guys. Yes, me's Mr. Johnson here. I've figured out some things. Who's our new friend?
Which of the three? Up there we have Alessia, and back there we have Crux. They're part of the Raven Church.
Ah.
Apparently that I'm the head of now. Remember I asked you about getting the deed to that church? And over here is Stannis. This is my old bandmate Stannis from when I was part of Deep Sea Blues.
Right, yes. Stannis, the saxophone player from Deep Sea Blues before the Water Genasi Rebellion and desecration happened. I do know a lot about Stannis.
It wasn't a rebellion!
Right.
They were the ones that desecrated us! That's not fair!
No, you're right. Absolutely. I do have your file. I've read it. Well, welcome here. I'm not going to say that I'm jealous of these people. I mean, you know how much I've always wanted to hang out and ride around in the van. And you've chosen them over me, even though we have a history.
I want to throw one of the sticky socks of Rogers at the fucking suit and yell at an uncle, why the fuck are we listening to a suit right now?
He's getting better. We're teaching him the correct ways. He's working his way up.
You got a three.
He stopped throwing the pizza parties and trying to, like... We're doing the defense roll? Oh, yeah. Fishy.
For the sock. You got a zero. He just...
I got a zero.
He's used to this from Roger. Like, he does this a lot, so he just moves out of the way, like, easily. He's used to this. Roger does it all the time. He's like, well, good to know that Stannis and Roger are going to get along just fine. Anyway.
I hate him. What are you talking about? You never know what's going on with me because you hate
me. Like, how do we even give you opinions?
Someone's at my front door. You guys were all yelling and then the thing went off at the same time? Oh, it's just Sprinkles. She ordered food. Gotcha. He's like, okay, everyone calm down. I have our next mission briefing, and this is very important, so everyone pay attention, okay? Even all of our new friends, gather around. As far as we know, it seems to me that, one thing. And he pulls out this piece of tinfoil and unwraps it, and it's got cheesecake in it, and he hands it to Roger, and then he continues talking. He's like, as we know, it seems to us that the third page of the Metal Omnicon has been kept safe inside of this hidden library, this ancient library. And I don't know what you're going to encounter in there, but what I will say is that could be dangerous. But this is very important for our future, to stop the Supreme Ten, the fucking pieces of shit rich bastards that they are, and keep our civilization moving forward. So, this here is the location. Any questions?
Can you do something about hacking the billboards with our faces on it?
Yes, I did see that. It seems to me that the Supreme Ten knows that you're trying to find these things, so they've put out a warrant for all of your guys' arrest to stop your progression. So we have to do our best to not let them find us. And I can work on maybe hacking those billboards. I also do want to say we did find the deed to the Raven Church, and we've got it now. We're transferring over it into your name. We have the processes of that. So you will have a place to hide out away from them in the future.
Real. All right. So where's this secret library?
Well, it's right here. And he points out the window. And it looks like there's like a mausoleum just like there, but it's just like a gate and like a, just like a, you know, like a square concrete entryway. And he's like, well, it's a hidden library that is underground. Seems to be why it's been so safe for all of these years. It may be guarded by something, we don't know. But the entrance here is hidden beneath an old, forgotten cathedral here. The stone archway leading to the library, as you can see, covered in moss and ancient runes. Yeah, so good luck.
It's not like you to show up to the actual place where shit's gonna go down.
Ananka, this
That's
is important.
Very uncharacteristic. Yeah, but usually you're like, meet us at Shady Gas Station where Roger sodomizes a gas station attendant and then send you on your way and you go off in your fancy car. It's not often you meet us at the actual place we need to do things.
This is true. But this is important, Ananka. And I also, I've been enjoying, getting to know the band a little bit. I've actually dropped a couple of other bands I've represented. There was a country band I wasn't a fan of. And I did that so I can spend more time helping you guys and getting to know you.
Mr. Johnson, can I get a word with you in the back of the bus? Let's take a walk.
Of course. And he walks with you to the back.
Yeah, I put my arm around him and I'm like, hey man, I just want to say thanks for the cheesecake. And I just kind of throw it over my shoulder in the bus. Really appreciate that.
Viking catches it and he's like, what is this fermented goat cheese?
Oh, you try that. It's delicious.
I will. Mr. Johnson's like, of course.
Mr. Johnson, I wanted to say that, your new getup is looking pretty snazzy. It's looking good, but I just got one question for you. Are you wearing any underwear?
Well, if I'm being completely honest, when I grew up, my mother always told me I had to wear underwear, but I have seen the way you are, and I'm not. I wanted to try something new. What do you call it?
I believe it's called free balling.
Yeah. Wanted to try out free balling, as you would say.
Yeah, you definitely should, because I really think it would complete the look for you. Because when somebody's free balling, you really know that they're free balling.
Right. It's a sense of freedom, They just hang out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of freedom, I thought it'd be a great time to tell you, in the interest of protecting our freedom, I don't think we should trust this new blue-haired rich guy. Isn't our whole point that we, fight against rich people, but
he's got all those patches and stuff on his vest and everything, those cost money. He's saying he's homeless, but I've been trying to upgrade my getup, and that's not cheap stuff he's got there, Roger.
Plus, that all those rich, eccentric guys just slather themselves in sewage to make them blend in with the general population. Come on. This guy can be trusted. He can't. Does he look like he's freeballing? I don't think he does.
There's no way he's freeballing, Roger. There's no way.
I don't think he's freeballing.
He doesn't.
Listen, Johnson, I'm glad we have this talk. You're a good guy.
Do me a favor and keep an eye on that non-freeballing, blue-haired, rich guy.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, like a hawk. Like a hawk.
Yeah. Cool. I'm happy we had this talk, Roger. It's good to get to know you.
Yeah, totally. You're totally like a cool guy and whatever. And yeah, I'm done talking to you. Bye.
All right, bye. There's no way he's freeballing. Favorite part of the episode so far. Okay, he steps out the van and he's like, all right, guys, you have your mission. Get in there and get that page. And please page me when you have it. And I'll let you know when I hear from Eon and Bob and Lucy.
I'm surprised Lucy wanted to go.
I do believe that Roger told him to protect Eon, and so that's what he was on about.
Yeah, some of that effect, I'd like.
Roger, you old softy.
Shut up, I don't have feelings! Let's go kill people!
So, looking out the bus, this is still in front of a streetway. There are still a shuffle of Supreme 10 security guards in between the crowds of people. There's picture the bus is parked, there's a sidewalk, and then on the other side of that sidewalk, there's a gate into a cemetery, and you can see the mausoleum entrance down, it goes down to the hidden library. So, there's all these Supreme 10 security guards walking up and down the street. What do you guys do?
Is it daytime or nighttime?
What benefits you?
Nighttime.
It's nighttime.
Okay, let's all get on top of the bus and jump over the gate.
You're gonna put the blind person on top of a bus to.
Don't worry, I'll throw you.
Don't worry, I'll toss you.
Great.
Okay, first of all, Roger, we've shown this before. You can't throw me. I am literally more than twice your size. We tried this last time.
Okay, fine. I'll take one of the boards off of the bunk bed and span it between the bus and the gate. You happy? You want me to put some fucking braille on it, too, so you know which direction to walk?
Oh, my God.
No.
So you're gonna drop it down from the bus to the gate like a bridge? To, like, yeah. Walk? Okay. Because, like, I just picture you trying to be stealthy, and it's just this bridge is just, like, head level to all these security guards on the street, and they're just, like, watching you walk across this bridge, and they're like.
What do you mean? A bus isn't 6 feet tall. It's, like, fucking. 12.
That's true. That's true. We can say that this gate is also about 12 feet tall, but what I do want you guys to do is roll me a strength or a stealth check to get across this bad boy. And I do believe, what is stealth in this fucking system, huh?
It's agility.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, agility.
Oh, and I actually would like to summon my crow to actually just, like, with my little weird cape they gave me that adds to my stealth checks.
Okay. You got to beat a 4. So, hell yeah. Summon your crow to do the thing. Roger got a 4. He succeeds. Stannis got a 1. Stannis fails. You got a 3. But don't you get to reroll something or something like that?
Let me see.
Catapult her. Use leverage. Yeah, Pubert. Roger, look him right in the eye. Rotate your left arm, Dutch rudder, and get to know him better.
Well, I get to add +2 to my stealth rolls. I think that's what it was with my stealth checks.
Nice. Roll me 2
so
more d6.
So technically it's 5. Or 8.
2 more d6, which you get to add.
Ooh.
Both of them failure.
Both of them failure. So, at this point, I'm going to ask you if you want to spend a couch coin to add 1 success, which will make you succeed. Everyone starts with 1, but Fishy did really well during our improv warm-up. Check it out on Patreon. So Fishy actually gets to start with 2.
Yeah, I'll use my couch coin. Why not?
Cool. So you two, Roger and Ananka, go across this bridge, and you hop down into the cemetery. You look back across, and you see, what's his name? Stannis. Stannis, you're just wobbling across this thing, and there's all these security guys, they're like looking up at you, and they're like, sir? Sir? What, sir?
Hold on now!
We're not looking for this guy, right? He's like, nah, blue hair. That's not them. Sir?
Hold on now.
Why are you up there, sir?
You see, I'm practicing my balance beam routines. Also heard there's nice flowers in this here cemetery over here. Great for smoking.
Right. Well, once you're done, sir, please come down. We can't have you practicing balance beams here in the central city. There are places on the coast for you actually to practice balance beams. And just use the gate into the cemetery, sir. It's open.
Oh, there's a gate?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And he's just gonna, like, kind of, like, try to get down from the balance beam, slip, fall, land on the ground. Gets
ow.
Kicked and stepped on, and then finally, like, stands up and be like, do a day to you, gentlemen. And
yeah, then good day, sir.
Go through the open gate.
You're like, all clear here. And they keep walking. You just walk into the gate and see them too standing there. Crux follows behind. Yeah, you guys find yourself in the cemetery. There are gravestones everywhere depicting different kinds of stuff and all other kinds of things. But as you're walking to the cemetery, I do want Ananka to give me a willpower logic check, just real quick for me, please. Okay, I only got
3.
You got a 3. Okay, so as you're walking through, you can see there are a couple of gravestones that have ravens on top of the gravestones. And you're kind of attracted to them a little bit, and as you walk over, you get this, like, sense of fullness and, like, content from your god, like, spiritually in your body. And you read these gravestones, and the names don't really stick out to you, but you can see that all 3 of the dates on them, they all died the same day. And you're reading them, and you're like, they all died the same day and got buried the same day. And your god sees you reading these, and he says, Anunka, these 3 previous avatars of the raven died for me will be remembered forever. There was a battle, and they fought well.
They all died at the same time?
During the same battle, indeed. On the same day.
Well, at least I'm in for a brutal death if I do go down.
Well, we hope so, and you die in a cool way. That might be nice. But
I didn't mean to say it like that. He's more, you know, collected than that.
You taking, God, are you taking dabs of my ayahuasca?
And he's like,
those 3 are with me here, together, happy, content.
Goody. I'm just going to tap on the top of the gravestones as I pass them. Just a little tap, 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 tap. Like a head pat.
Hold on, let me...
A little head pat.
Oh, actually, I should ask you. Highs or lows?
Lows.
Okay, nothing happens.
All right.
Yeah. All right.
Just a little tap, tap. It's like a head pat. You nice. Never done that to a gravestone of a friend?
I have, yeah, yes indeed. You guys approach this mausoleum entryway. The gate here is open already for you. You can see down there are stairs that go all the way down. The entrance to this ancient library, it does seem to be hidden beneath this old forgotten place here. This stone and gate is covered in moss and ancient runes, and as you 3 step down in one by one, you feel a strange shift in the air, as if you've crossed into another realm of some kind. Stepping down into the area, it opens into this big open entryway. It doesn't have any kind of books or anything in it, but it has a bunch of stone mausoleum statues, like people were buried here and stuff.
Couch coin!
And,
Certifiable underscore nerd just redeem couch coin. Anonka, respect.
Respect. Mm-hmm. Head pats of respect. At the end, there is a tall, elegant elf. She's a spirit. She's long, silver, brown, and blackish hair, like it's all dyed in different colors. She's got glowing eyes. She wears a robe of shifting colors. And as she sees you guys, her robes go a grayish tone. She speaks and she says, I am Artemis, the keeper of the gate. Only those who seek knowledge of pure intent may enter this sacred place. Prove yourself to me, or be turned away. And she stands still.
Greetings, Artemis. Right. Yeah. Brown, black, and white. Greetings, Artemis, little Artie. We come seeking knowledge of the Metal Omnicon to put an ancient evil back to sleep when it is brought up by those who wish to destroy.
Understood.
I'm just here to do a job so I can get my fix.
Understood.
What they said.
What deems you worthy of the Metal Omnicon page?
Likely nothing.
It's got our name on it. Our band.
You wish to assume the page of music. Are you talented enough to play? And then her robes shift a different color, like this pinkish color, and her eyes shift over to the saxophone case that you're carrying. And she goes, play for me.
Play for you.
Play for me.
Okay.
I know that you've moved and shit, Fishy. I don't know if you have the prop with you. There's no way you have the prop with you, right?
It's all the way down in my car, but I do have...
Hey. Everybody cheers. Fishy's going to run to his car. Cheers, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
God damn it.
Woo-wee! Thank you guys for being here. It's time for Crotch Beach's Artemis cameo. That's right. Also, Fishy's daughter's name is Artemis. Can you believe that? And his son's name is Hunter. Yeah, it's a very, very cool theme he's got going. Shaxaboom, baby!
Can we respect the fact that I'm Fish Daddy, and that's Fishy, and then we have Artemis and Artemis?
Artemis and Artemis. Can y'all believe that shit? How cool is that?
Two fishes, right. With Artemises.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool, man. I've always been into Viking stuff. Hey, shout out to Forge of Lore. We're going to be raiding them in about an hour. It's their streamiversary. That's right. That's what pretty much our whole community is, you know, and we're going to join them very soon. It's fun stuff, everybody. Look, there's Artie, the old bitch. Hell yeah. And I mean bitch in the
She's a ghost. She's a library ghost.
That face. She's like, what the fuck?
Put the fuck down, Mom.
You see,
you guys know that bitch Moaning Myrtle? Her name was just Myrtle before I got done with her. I gotta go get checked, though, because I think she gave me hogwarts.
Sauce. Fucking sauce. Woo! Artemis, the Greek goddess of moon and hunt. Indeed. It was Greek, not Viking. Thank you for the checkup there. And it was good because his other son's name is Hunter, which I think is very fun. So, he's going to run down to his car. He lives, I think, on the second story. He's going to be out of breath. I shouldn't have set up this bit. I didn't even ask him.
You
if he
feel
had
better
sense.
Yet, baby?
Yes, that's what this is for. This is practice for his possible new character for Improv Quest, which is going to be a lot of fun. It's starting very soon. Improv Quest is going to have a lot of chat involvement, and it's going to allow every one of us to improv and create a story together. Nothing is pre-written. It's going to be a lot of fucking fun, so make sure to come and join us for that. We're actually going to be using D&D 5e until the new one drops, and then we're going to make characters in the new one, and blah, 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 blah. You guys know the way it goes. Demetrius, my daughter's is Chloe, both named after the same goddess. Oh, cool, man. That's very cool. And Demetrius. More very cool. One of the supervisors that I manage at work, his name's Demetrius. Spelt that same way. Yeah! I'm a manager now. You'll believe that. I made it. Welcome, Pizza of Death. We are stalling because Fishy went to go get a quick little prop for an amazing bit that we're going to do. So we're stalling. Oh, there he is. Okay, everybody, reassume the position. She looks at you and she sees the saxophone. What was her name again? I keep forgetting. Stannis. She looks at you, Stannis. She sees the saxophone and she says, "If you are worthy to pass, please play for me." While he plays, if you guys want to assist and play instruments as well, I'll give you guys the help action to help him assist on this, if you want to.
I guess I'll bang my pistol on my ass like a tambourine.
Nice. Nice. Hold the guitar up there, Elka. Hell yeah. Can we get some doo-doo-doo-doos in chat, please, please? All right. I need you to make me a... This is basically a performance check. You could do charisma and then connect it to anything else that you have, any other
dance
kind of
party
stat.
Activate.
Here we go.
Gandalf Sexman.
Fishy pose. You got it now.
Mr. _ Abstract A subscribed.
Oh god, this is so long. Why is it so long?
Couch coin.
Oh.
Sir _ Pewter just redeemed couch coin. Fishy.
Hell yeah. Charisma Willpower. Very good, very good. So. First of all, thanks for the sub there, Abby. 32 months, my friend. 2 months drink. Appreciate you, guy. Cheers.
A lot of ones. Mm-hmm. Kind of three.
Only three successes.
Hey, use
so
a couch card to make one of those successes.
You're also going to get two extra D6s from your two partners assisting you. Because both of them looks like they both succeeded. So, they didn't even need to succeed. The help action just helps. So, you get two extra D6s. You got a 3, and you need to beat, well, I guess only a 2 anyway.
I know.
But roll them for me. Both
Jesus
ones.
Christ, I'm rolling a lot of ones.
Jesus.
I say our glitch die as well, because he did get a 3, so he did pass, but is there a glitch die?
Also a 3, so nothing happens. Does she actually play that instrument? Well, he can fuck it. Anybody can play anything. Can he play it well? That's the question. You know what I mean? That's all we get. That's right, baby. So, you succeed. You play the sax as you guys sing together in this crypt. Tambourining and strumming guitars. And Stannis goes crazy on this saxophone. You even have your saxophone case out there, and she places a couple spiritual dollars into your saxophone case, and she goes,
"Oh, that's like Napoli money. That sounds real monies. You fucking jail fire." And I'm gonna like kick the case closed, very angrily pick it up.
No, sorry.
No. Where do you get off being some type of ghostess gatekeeping the monoliths and shit? I'm out here trying to do a job, man. God, I'm going to start walking down.
He's coming.
The stairs.
He's coming off of a fix. Hold on.
Okay. Before you walk down the stairs, she says, she's like, "Okay, well, that was satisfactory. You have deemed yourselves worthy, excuse me, of being able to play music, thus granting you access to the hidden library, for it was the Grand Master's library's intent for only musicians to be able to enter the hidden library, for he believes musicians have a level of respect and artistic ability." She steps back and waves her spectral hands, and her robe turns this greenish color, and she waves open, and the wall behind her opens. Like Fishy said, apparently now, because of improv, there are more stairs leading down. She says, "You may pass."
Thank you, Artemis.
Thanks, I guess.
Welcome. Yeah. Okay. Now that's done and done. We're going to take a quick little break, everybody, before you guys enter this next location. We're doing a short stream tonight, so we're only going to come back after that for a little bit of time. We'll see how the hell everything goes. So hang in there with us. So we're going to have some fun, and we'll be right back, everybody. We're going to go use the bathroom. Hope you do as well. We'll be right back. All right. Yo, I need a thumbnail pose of Fishy's character for possibly putting him on the thumbnail for YouTube.
Yes. Do you feel better yet, baby?
Hell yeah, Fishy. Can you turn the other way so I don't have to cut out that stupid shadow? Nice. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. All right, we'll be right back, everybody. Don't go anywhere. Hello, one and all, and welcome back to Metal Omnicon. I'm your humble dungeon band manager, Turk. That's right. I'm here to control the chaos and have all the fun. Tonight is episode 7. We've got, counting tonight, I guess 5 episodes left. We're only going to 11. Hello, Slappy. Good to see you, bud. We're having some fun, telling some stories, and we have our lovely guest player tonight, Fishy, which is weird to say because Fishy's a long-running couch crew, which is crazy, but he's here filling in for Emmy while they're doing their Forge of Lore Streamiversary. So, very cool stuff. We've got a short stream in store for you guys tonight, so this last hour is going to be kind of hectic, but thank you so much for joining us. That's right. We're going to have some fun, and of course, I'm here with the band. Say hello, band!
Hello, band! Hello, band!
Good to see you guys. Yeah, so... music. As we last left off, you guys just made it down into the mausoleum, trying to find the hidden library to get the third page of the Metal Omnicon book. Our friend Stannis impressed the elven spirit by playing his saxophone and let you entry into the stairwell to the final area in this hidden library. You three walk down the stairs as your steps echo. There are torches, but they're not fantasy torches. They're electricity torches on the walls. But they're, like, shaped like torches. They're, like, themed like torches, but they're still, like, lights. And they're, like, flickering as you guys are walking down. There's, like, wires that are, like, leading from light to light all the way down. As you guys walk down these stairs. Eventually, you reach the Hall of Tomes. A massive chamber that's just lined with towering bookshelves. And at the center of the chamber, past these bookshelves, it can just go for as long as the eyes can see, stands a towering golem made of stone, enchanted books. Its eyes glow with an eerie light. And in the center of its chest, kind of like Iron Man, there's a glowy metal bit. And spinning in the middle of that glowy metal bit is a large brass key. He has not moved yet. He's not done nothing as you guys enter into the library. You have a second. What do?
You all good to deal with whatever happens with the golem if I astral project and try to find what we're looking for?
Yeah, it should be fine. I'm pretty good at talking my way out of situations. I don't care what you do. Just make sure, you know, you leave some room for me to do some crazy flips and shit.
That's fair. Crux, how about you? Because I know you came off the bus with us.
He says, this place reminds me of the library where I grew up.
Didn't know you could read.
Well, I can read at a first grade level.
Sounds about right.
Do you think they have picture books here?
I'm sure we could find you one.
I sure hope so.
Bat in a hat would be nice. If you would have me, Avatar of the Raven, once we destroy this foul beast, I will look for books.
Sounds like a plan then. I'm gonna, like, age myself up against, like, a back wall. Like, kind of in a crevice, I kneel down and let my spirit go.
Nice. You gonna astral project?
Yeah.
Cool. This is an easy roll for you. You got a 4. You only had to beat a 3. You succeed. What is the goal here?
I'm going to... Well, this is the thing, is that, like, magic books, magic pages... give off a certain aura, and we have 2 pages of the Metal Omnicon before, so I imagine I recognize that aura as well as anything Crow related to, because let's be honest, I'm looking but I'm looking for that same magical aura from the pages.
Nice. Okay,
whilst going through.
Here's what I'm going to give you. I'm not going to make you roll perception or anything like that, but I am going to give you this. You float up out of your body. As your body hides in the corner, you float up above these bookshelves, so tight, close to the ceiling, and you're floating above them looking down. And you can see behind
the large golem as your spirit floats above. There's this little box that has a cage over it. And inside of that box, there's the energy of the page. And it's on this little wooden structure. And on the front of it, there's a large brass lock.
Excellent. All right.
Now, one other thing. As you're flying around in here, you can see as far... I mean, as you can see, these lines of books go. Like, this probably has history way back into 2024, probably. And as you're looking, you can see far, far back.
There's it's 2222, Stannis.
Yeah. There's, like, this purple glow in the shape of a book as far back as you can see. And you recognize that as maybe history on the Raven.
All right, Brill. All right, so I'm going to scooch back on into my buddy. All right, fellas. Page is behind the golem in a book with a big brass key lock, and looks like the key lock. The key is in the golem. Have at it, boys.
And Crux says,
all right.
Attack now.
No, not yet. Let me work my magic first.
Okay.
And I'm going to walk out towards the golem.
Ananka, I made a Crux character sheet that you get to control in this battle. He's got a great axe. He's got strength. That's all he's got.
Ready.
And he's still naked, only wearing the ball holder that Aeon made for him.
He fucking would be.
Yes. But it's okay, because his really, really long pubes cover everything. There's just a little tiny penis head sticking out of them pubes.
Good. Good, I love it here.
Good. Good, I love it. Good. Very good.
Good.
Good. Okay, continuing on. Stannis, what do you have for us?
Yeah, I'm walking out towards the golem.
As you...
And I would like to... Oh, great golem.
Is that all you got? Okay, as you step forward and you say that... excuse me, I just burped. As you approach the center of this hall, the ground begins to tremble below your feet. And a couple of books fly off the shelves. And they swirl into the air before being sucked into the goblin. And then its eyes light up, and with an eerie glow, it, like, comes to life as the cracks in its body assume that same glow that's inside of its chest, and it towers over you, and it says, "Intruders must be tested." And it rumbles, raising its massive fists in the air and smashes them on the ground, and the bookshelves tremble a little bit.
We were given permission to be here.
You say that. It doesn't faze him. Do you want to say anything before we roll initiative, Stannis?
Eat shit, fuck ass! And I'll, shoot one round.
I said Stannis, damn it, Roger. You don't get a free action. Stannis, what do you do? What do you say?
Praise it be, O great golem, for let the test be. Do not hurt me.
Okay, you know, I'll give you the charisma check, but I'm going to make it a difficulty, a very hard difficulty. So I'm rolling a d12 here. Go on ahead and make me charisma check. Damn it, you only got to beat a 4. I'm going to spend my couch coin that I received from Ananka spending her couch coin earlier, because the DM gets coins whenever the players spend theirs. And I'm just going to reroll my whole thing. 7.
What? I don't think I can even beat a 7.
Mr. _ Abstracto used reroll fishy.
Ooh. Now maybe you can if you get the right number and you spend your couch coins. Because you have 3 of them now.
Remember, you're doing charisma, charisma. You're doing two charisma.
Couch coin.
You're doing...
You have Mira
Morgris just redeemed couch coin. Fishy.
You made it incredibly worrisome, Schecter. Thank you.
Stannis, what is your charisma? Your charisma is 6. Yeah, so whenever you roll here, Fishy, you roll them together. So you do charisma, charisma. So you should be rolling 12d6, not 66.
See, nobody told me this. This is why I've been failing the entire time.
Fuck. That's a 4.
I still got a 4.
And you have 4 couch coins. Now
can
you
I use one of my couch coins?
You can spend a couch coin to give yourself a success. So you can spend all 4 of them to make yourself succeed on this.
Hell yeah. That's exactly what I would do.
Okay. You spend all your couch coins and you succeed. As you say, well, I don't even remember what the fuck you said. Oh, great Lord Golem, don't hurt me, basically. Something like that.
Oh, great Golem. For let the test be, but do not harm me.
He turns, looks down at you, and he goes, Stannis, the saxophone player from the great reggae band. I will not hurt thee, for I have the album on vinyl. He pulls it out of his pocket. He's like... Will you sign
a true fan, yes.
A reggae band? When were you in a reggae band?
I will sign it.
Yes.
I am frozen.
Not anymore. You're good. You're good. He's like, sign it. Sign it for me.
Yeah, I was a part of a reggae band. It was a little bit before your time, back when I used to smoke an incredible amount of seaweed. And I want to sign it. And then, now, we know how powerful that the key inside your chest is. So, let the test be just one of trade. We will give you something to encapsulate inside your chest for the rest of the millennia, and you give us the bronze key to take the page and go on.
Holy shit. Very cool. I'm gonna have to give you a couch coin for this proposal. He looks at you. He takes the signed vinyl and puts it in his back pocket. He looks back at the other two, looks at Crux standing there naked, and he goes, but Stannis, these three must prove themselves.
No. The only person that needs to prove themselves is Crux, for he is looking for a companion. And what's a better companion than being inside of you?
Oh, shit. Emmy will be so mad.
Oh, this is Emmy's NPC?
Yeah.
Even better. He will serve you and fill you with life and bolstering muscles.
I do like the crocheted thong he is wearing.
I would like to get, like, right at knee level and point to his massive bush and crocheted thong. This could be all yours, great golem.
Jesus Christ.
He's like, no. From Crux, I will take the thong, proving himself worthy.
And his big-ass arm extends out and pushes you, Stannis, and Crux to the side. And he goes,
the other two, prove yourselves worthy before I release the bronze key.
God damn it, we gotta give him shit, too.
Do something. Be something, or fight me.
Be something?
Or give me something, I don't know.
Oh, be something, alright. I'd like to summon the crow from within myself and become like a half crow, like, essentially, like, when it took over my body, like, go into that stance of, I'm being something.
Cool. But
you
this will require...
Avatar state? I mean, the Raven mode or whatever?
I need you to do me a dice roll, though. We're going to do a dice roll here. You're trying to do it to impress somebody, so you can do, like, a willpower or charisma if you want to, because you're trying to do it to impress him. That's so crazy, Fishy. You just disappeared and then came back from off-camera. That was wild.
Yeah, the internet, terrible.
Terrible. You only got to beat a two. That's a five.
Faith.
So, you go down into your meditative stance and pray to your raven god, and the god calls back and says,
the page is valuable. I will help you in this.
And the tattoos on your arms once again turn into raven wings and extend out from your body magically. And your eyes turn yellow. And you can see once again. And you can see this towering golem figure. And you step forward.
You're a big boy.
Yeah, as this newly formed raven. And he goes,
this one is blessed by the god of the raven. I've read this book. You are worthy.
And his big-ass golem hand grabs you and your little wings, and he sets you to the side, and it's just him and Roger, and he's just staring you down, Roger.
Prove thyself.
I don't know. Is the hole in his chest, like, does it go all the way through, or does it just...
Yes.
It does?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I take my mic stand like a javelin and throw it through his chest, trying to get it through the keyhole on the ring, or the key ring on the key.
Nice. That's badass. This is going to be a really hard difficulty, but I know how good you are with ranged weapons. So, here we go. Dang, I only got a four. That's it.
Be fighting staff.
You're using it as range, so you can do strength agility if you want.
Hold on, I'm trying to see what would give me more here.
Word. Give it Roger's sock. Reach in and yank out the key.
Extracted.
True, huh? Burned out myself doing house stuff. Dude, I feel that. Abby, sometimes I work for fucking 9 hours and then I come home and I clean and then I sit at my computer and try to still do Grouch Couch stuff, and sometimes it's a struggle. But you know what? Whenever we're passionate about something, you know, you gotta let that passion take over, you know. But never get burnt out, because that's also really tough, you know.
Do the Proteus method, where every 3 months you take a week off and you don't do nothing, you get super bored, so when you come back, you really want to do it.
Hell yeah. That's a four. Do you want to spend your couch coin to make it a five?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. I get me another coin.
Hell yeah, you spend it. Would you like to describe this, or do you want me to take the reins here?
Well, I'll describe it on my part at least.
Cool.
He tells, show me something, do something, and I go, yeah! And throw the shit, and it perfectly goes through his chest, through the key ring on the key, and then out the other side of his body and sticks into the wall behind him.
Nice.
As did you miss that? Chest. I can only do it once with the nightstand, but I'll try again with something else if you want.
His chest dims a little bit, and he takes a knee down in front, and he almost smashes the other guys around when his hands hit the ground, and he looks up at you in a seductive pose. His back arches and his ass is up, and he's like...
That was good. You penetrated me perfectly. I am impressed.
Are you in a bed?
Yeah, whatever. Okay, man. Whatever you say. And I sign his forehead with a Sharpie.
He goes,
oh, my stars. Are you the singer of the band?
Yeah, I am. And while I'm talking to him, I'm like climbing on top of his body.
1 second. Fishy's got technical difficulties on us. There we go. Thank you, Fishy. You're climbing on his body?
Yeah, no, I'm just climbing on top of him, going behind him to grab my staff from the wall with the key on it.
Nice. But as you climb on him, he's like, oh, yes. Climb on me, my king. Climb all over me. And then he sees you getting the key. And he turns, he looks, and he goes, oh, you were using me. Understood.
Humping for dominance!
Is this little rock formation back here your asshole or something?
Yes.
Oh, you don't say.
He goes, thank you for this.
And he spits the bullets out of his mouth.
Yeah. Know your place, trash.
I love to be disrespected. You are worthy. And he stands up, takes 2 steps forward, and goes back into his pose, leaving the box and the cage completely open for you guys to
open.
All right. Here's the key.
Well, I was going to say, you have the owners. You got the key? You got the owners of doing it.
I threw it on the ground. Hold on. Thank you. Okay. See if this works. Put the key in there and I twist it. Grab his key and twist it.
Nice. So, what is this? Does this work? It does. As you insert the key, the cage unlocks and the bars drop to the ground. And you open the chest. Inside of the chest is the page. And as the chest opens, the page begins to vibrate and glow.
Oh, it vibrates.
And then out from your pocket, Ananka, the other 2 pages fly out, up into the air. And this page flies out of the chest and connects with the other 2 pages. And there's like this big burst of energy.
Well,
as this happens, the room begins to shake, and dust falls from the ceiling, and an ominous voice echoes through the library. And as you hear this voice, it kind of sounds like someone has deepened and distorted their voice so you won't recognize them, but it says,
you've taken what does not belong to you. You will not stop us. Face the consequences, Metal Omnicon.
And the ground beneath you cracks. And the ceiling, where dust was falling, cracks, revealing the moonlight up above. And from the ground, dark energy swirls and like a vortex. And then all of these, like, ghostly dark spirit things just start flying out into the sky. And then after a second, it stops, revealing just cracked earth.
Mr. Johnson with a voice modulator.
No. I mean, you could roll me willpower if you want to double check. But I like Mr. Johnson too much to make him come back as the villain.
That ain't fair. Oh, I only got a 1.
You had to be a 2.
Yeah, it's fine.
So you know you're unsure. Okay, you have the pages. They fly back into your hands. And the 3rd page has been completed. You now have the intro, the 1st verse, and the 1st part of the 1st chorus of this song in this book.
Brilliant. Mr. Rongson.
Mr. Johnson's twin brother. You three stand here in this library. Vast. What do you guys do?
I'm going back for that book in the way back of the library.
Nice. So you head towards the back, and you get there to see it's simply a book that says Grimm's Knowledge of the Raven King and Queen.
Oh, brilliant. Gonna nick that off the shelf.
Nice. And of course you read it because it's written in Braille. Of course.
No, I still got my crow eyes in. Oh. I'm still half transformed.
Sweet.
I'm just not putting contacts in right now.
You nick it off the shelf. Put it in your pocket for later. The golem stands up and returns to his pose, and as he does, he eyes you the whole time, Roger. He's like,
singer of a band. Always welcome here.
Shut up, slave. Just like dinks him in the forehead.
Who knew you had, as I'm walking back from the back of the library, who knew you had a spot in the, like, the sub-bear community?
This whole time, Roger's like, no one wants to talk to me. All the groupies, no one cares about Roger. But the fucking golem in the fucking hidden library is all about him. Anyways.
Yeah, you're just targeting the wrong people. You gotta go for the bears that are subs. Sub bears. That's
can
what
I
want.
Can I grab a book from this library before we leave?
Sure. What are you looking for?
Can I go into the self-help section?
Yes.
I wanna try to find a book that the title is How to Make Non-Sexual Friends for Dummies.
Okay. Nice. You do that. I feel like it's got like a yellow cover and it has like someone on the front of it.
Yeah, it's got a yellow and black cover.
Half naked, but they're like, no, you know. Nice. Stannis, what do you do?
Yeah, I kind of like it here in this library. Or like find some type of cauldron like thing. Just take a handful of books and make a hobo fire.
Nice.
While they're off kind of like doing their own thing, looking through books. I'm just cold.
Couch coin.
Nice.
Kriana just redeemed couch coin to Roger for evolving.
Character development. There you have it. All right, you're warming yourself up. And as you do, Crux, the Viking, approaches from behind and warms himself up as well. And he's reading a children's book. It says, like, one fish, two fish, three fish, blue fish. And he's like, this is a good read. You read this before?
Yeah. I can't read.
Oh.
I don't.
I can teach you. Read. Want me to teach you how to
read? You could teach me how to read?
Well, yes. Back in my village, I had the highest reading.
Sure.
I was the best reader.
He uses the light of the trash bin and holds up the book, and he's like, this one here is an F. Sounds like F, 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 F.
Yes. And then the I is the one with a little dot on it. E. E. F, F, E. And then you have the SH. When you put them, the SHs together, it sounds like shh. Like be quiet, you know? Shh. Like that. And then put them all together.
Eesh.
Yes, fish. Very good. Very good.
Between the lions, between the covers of a book, it's time to look between the lions. Behold the tales, beyond the tales, behind the door. You guys ever watch that show, Between the Lions?
No,
with a bunch of puppet lions
song.
In front of a library?
My Raven Queen, it's about very good song. Yes.
Zaboomafoo was better.
Also true. I mean, anything with the Krat Brothers was great.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Okay.
You know, Zaboomafoo's granddaughter had babies. Well, Zaboomafoo's been dead since like 2015, so his grandbaby, Lemur, had babies.
Right. Anyways, I say we blow this popsicle stand. We have what we came for, right?
Yeah, I just hope there's not anybody around here named Popsicle Stand.
Yeah.
Golem, what's your name?
Hey man, yeah. 20 bucks is 20 bucks.
The golem's like, that just happens to be my name.
Okay, let's get the fuck out of here.
Anon's just gonna purposely leave like a poster for one of our upcoming gigs on the library floor for Popsicle Stand to find.
Nice, hell yeah. You guys leave. As you're leaving, you look back and you can see the golem puts on little tiny reading glasses on his big ass face and he tries to read the fucking flyer for your next show. But as you guys are leaving, you just head up the stairs. You get back to the area with the elf and she goes, hope everything went well, and she closes the gate behind you.
Later, Artemis.
He goes, bye bye, Ananka. Do thee well.
And you guys head up the stairs, get back to the cemetery, and get back to the bus, of course, where Elysia is waiting for you guys, ready, with the bus already warm, she's listening to pop music, she's ready to go. But before you can run out to the bus, you gotta get back across the street into the bus. You look through the gate, and you can see now there are even more Supreme Ten guards walking up and down the streets. And every single one of those large TV screens on the buildings have your faces plastered on them.
Is there an intersection that we can see from where we are?
Sure, yeah. For sure.
Alright, I need to make two shots here. I'm going to shoot out the street light, and then I'm also going to shoot out a tire of a motorist and cause a big car accident to distract them from us.
Nice. Okay, let me roll your difficulty. You only got to beat a one. It's going to take two shots, though, so I need two rolls from you.
Yeah, this one's for the street light.
Five. Success.
And this one is for the poor fuck-ass whose tire I shot out.
Because I should roll another difficulty, probably. Two. Well, no, that's fine. You succeed. Okay. I feel like I want to describe this scene a little bit. You guys go to the gate of this cemetery. You guys are standing around. Even still, Stannis is like, why don't we just go? But you guys are standing there, and you see all these guards, and you get this quick thinking, Roger, and you look up. There's a street light above you, and you whip out your guns. You flip them around like crazy. And everyone's looking at you. And Crux is like, these projectile shooting devices impress me. And you shoot out the lamp and shoot through the iron bars of the gate to shoot out a tire of this motorist. He's wearing a helmet, but he's only got like some shorts on and like some skater shoes, and he skids all across the road just screaming his face off because he's not wearing the proper protective gear. If you're gonna fucking ride a motorcycle, wear the fucking proper protective gear. And he's skidding across the ground just screaming like, ah! And there's just like blood as he's screeching across the ground of his leg just being disintegrated, and all the security guards are like, oh, someone needs help, and all the Supreme Ten guys run out into the middle of the road and they're like trying to help this guy. Yeah, there's fucking road pizza, like Mira said, and he's like trying to protect this guy and help him. They're like lifting him up. One of them's like calling in an ambulance, and the light is just like fss, fss, fss.
the sparks drip down and catch the gasoline on fire from his motorcycle, which causes an explosion.
And then, okay, highs or lows, Roger?
Fucking highs, always highs.
All right, that's a natural 20, baby. Oh, check him. Natural 20 on a highs check. So, a lot of these guys, these security guards, are gonna die right now. I'm gonna leave you the reins to describe it as ever cool. This is like a fortuitous circumstance kind of situation. Go on ahead and take it.
Well, I shoot these two things perfectly. Oh, that explosion shit happens, and I turn to the group behind me as the motorcycle explodes behind me, and I go, it's called free-balling. And then I open the gate, and we get on the bus.
Nice, dude. And there's just Supreme 10 security guards just blown away everywhere, like, just like bodies.
And Stannis teleports out of existence.
Yeah, and Elysia hits on the gas, and you guys ride through the fire. And the camera just sees the ghoul bus coming through the fire on the other side as these bodies are just flying everywhere. It's like, pretty dope. Pretty dope. I love that.
Yeah, pretty birdie. Just, like, call out the window to crows and vultures and shite. Come get dinner.
I love that. Ravens come down, start eating their eyes and shit. Love that. Stannis did vanish. It's all right. He's having bad internet issues. If you shoot past gravestones, it'll mess with the echoes. It'll be difficult to find the source. It's good even pre-cooked. Yeah, cooked food. So, you guys right away in the bus. You have the final page. And at this point, you need a rendezvous with Eon to see what's going on with the mechanic and the vampire overlord and how you might accomplish that situation. But as you're riding away, you guys get settled back into the bus, and you have a conversation to have with Stannis, if he's going to stick around or if he's going to bounce.
Beard. First off, we're going to text Mr. Johnson to let him know that the page has been retrieved. And while I'm texting Mr. Johnson, I'm going to text him about possibly giving Stannis a pay cut, like a cut of the pay, as well as maybe even, you know, a record deal of some kind, just to kind of get his career back on the level.
Nice.
Because he's still got chops, you know. Get him some gigs, or getting us gigs, you can get him a gig.
You'd be like your opening band a couple times? Your opening act?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I wish we could know how he feels about that, but seems his internet's too bad to respond. All right, that's fair. You do that, and we'll discuss that more next episode, I guess. Roger, how do you end this episode here?
Well, since Stannis isn't here to protect it, I'm going to get back on my couch. Fucking spread out. Oh, yep. Look who's back. Get on the bus. I'm spread out on the couch.
I'm gonna walk in and I'm gonna grab Roger by one leg and just throw him off the couch.
No!
Contested strength? Yes?
I don't think you know how strong I am.
I don't think you know how strong I am.
It's a 5 for Roger. Versus a 5 from Stannis. So we have a standoff in the bus. You guys are just dragging each other off this chair, back and forth, arguing over it, trying to get in this chair. But no one's moving, no one's budging. You guys are just going back and forth, dragging each other off the chair.
I imagine it's like really, really violent fighting. Like, I throw him up against the bus wall, breaks a window, he falls down, shoots me 2 times in the foot, I crawl out in pain, come back, break a bottle over his head. Like, just really aggressive.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah, dude. I love that.
Oh, this is just like the good old days.
Fighting over the masturbation couch.
Remember that time we went to Phoebe Jeebies and we had to like fucking glass and a curb stomp the fella that tried to stiff us on the bail?
Hell yeah.
Oh. Yeah, fuck that guy.
Yeah, that's what that reminds me of. It's been good having you back, mate.
I have a question for you, Stannis. Ananka is going to try to work with Mr. Johnson to have you be the opening act for Metal Omnicon in the future. What would be the name of your opening act as a saxophone player opening up for these guys? Stannis the Sax Man?
Oh, Stannis froze.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. He said yeah.
Stannis. Oh, there he is.
No. No. It would be... It'd be a new band called Sewage Pipes.
Sewage Pipes. Nice, because like pipes for the sax. I love that. Very good. Very good. Hell yeah. Okay. That, my friends, is kind of where we end the episode. You guys have the page. Everything's good and done. We are going to take a quick little 5-minute break, probably less than that. And we're going to come back for our short little breakdown here. We want to do that with Fishy before we get out of here. So don't go anywhere. XP. Right. Johnson's going to get you guys up. Both of you guys are going to get 10 karma points, as well as you, Stannis. They could also be ketamine points, if you want to call them that. And
we got 10 ketamine points.
Hell yeah,
anybody
baby.
Else want to go into a keyhole?
That's right. So we're going to take 10 minutes, and then we're going to come back for our breakdown. Don't go anywhere, everybody. Hell yeah. 1 minute. We're going to take like 1 or 2 minutes. We'll be right back.